All right, so get ready, because today we're going deep into a legal case. It's fascinating, yeah, but also kind of strange. It's about a broken publishing contract. But get this, the author doesn't end up with, a big payout. No, he gets like a measly 6 cents.
What I find really interesting about this case, Foreign v. Washington Square Press, is that it really boils down to like the essence of damages in contract law. It's not just about winning or losing. It's about like figuring out what really makes up for, a broken promise.
Yeah, okay, so let's set the stage a bit. Back in 1965, we have Philipp Freund. He's a college professor, also an author, and he signs this deal with Washington Square Press to publish his manuscript. It's all about modern drama. He gets like a $2,000 advance. They set an 18-month deadline for publication and, a pretty standard royalty agreement. Seems like pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, definitely. But there's this really important clause in the contract. It basically says that if the publisher doesn't publish the book within that time frame, all the rights go back to Freund. So he keeps his advance and he's free to, take his manuscript somewhere else.
Okay, but here's where things get a little messy. The publisher ends up merging with another company, and they stop publishing hardcovers altogether. So Freund's just left hanging, no book and no explanation.
Exactly. And that's where this whole idea of damages comes into play. The court isn't trying to like punish the publisher or anything. They're trying to figure out how to put the author back in the position he would have been in if, if the contract had been followed.
Gotcha. So Freund decides to take them to court. But instead of, just asking for a specific amount, he throws out all these different types of damages he thinks he deserves.
Yeah, his first claim is pretty interesting. He argues that because the book was delayed, it actually hurt his chances of getting a promotion at his university.
Wait, really? I mean, wouldn't that be incredibly difficult to prove?
You're absolutely right. And the court, they dismissed that claim pretty quickly. Turns out, Freund actually did get promoted during that time period, so that argument didn't really hold up.
Okay, so what did he try next?
Well, he then goes for something called reliance damages. He's basically saying, look, I spent money and made plans because I relied on this publisher's promise, and now, well, now I'm out of pocket.
Yeah, that makes sense. So did you win on that one?
Unfortunately, no. The problem was that Freund couldn't actually show the court any specific expenses that were directly related to, the book deal falling apart.
So he's striking out so far. But he must have had something else up his sleeve, right? What was his big play?
Okay, so his final attempt was to go for what we call expectation damages. Think of it this way. He's trying to get the money he expected to make if the book had been published and, sold like crazy, royalties and all that. But, and this is crucial, he couldn't provide the court with any solid evidence of how much that would actually be.
So he was kind of just throwing out numbers, hoping something would stick.
Yeah, pretty much. And the court, well, they saw right through it. They said it was way too speculative. They need a reasonable degree of certainty to award damages, remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a clear breach of contract, but the author can't seem to prove how much he actually lost.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see why those 6 cents come into play. So what did the court do in this tricky situation?
Well, this is where this idea of nominal damages kind of comes in.
Nominal damages. So that's where the 6 cents comes in, right? It almost feels like insulting, Like a slap on the wrist rather than anything else.
Yeah, it might seem that way at first, but it's actually a really important legal tool. Nominal damages are how a court can say, yeah, a contract was broken, even if, the person who was wrong can't really prove they lost a ton of money. It's like a formal, you messed up from the legal system.
Okay, so it's less about like the money itself and more about just acknowledging that, yeah, the publisher didn't hold up their end of the bargain.
Exactly. The court was very clear that awarding damages in these cases isn't about making the author, richer than he would have been if everything had gone according to plan. It's more about restoring balance the best they can.
And I remember reading that the judges in this case actually use a pretty interesting analogy to explain their reasoning.
Oh, yeah, they compared it to construction contracts. Let's say a builder just walks off the job like halfway through. It wouldn't really be fair for the homeowner to then demand the full cost of building a second house on top of the, the half-finished one, right? They
Yeah.
should really only get back what they actually lost because that first contract fell apart.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. The homeowner still needs to pay to finish the house, but they shouldn't get a free house out of it. So with Freund, they were basically saying he shouldn't get some big windfall just because the publisher, messed up.
Exactly. Those 6 cents were just a way of saying, look, you were wrong. but the court wasn't going to just hand him a blank check without, you know, real proof that he lost money.
It's interesting, though, how the court differentiated between, like, the value of the actual book itself and the potential royalties. It's not like the publisher, you know, stole his physical manuscript.
Yeah, that's an important point. What Freund was really contracting for wasn't just the printed book. It was the publisher's, you know, their efforts to market and sell his work. That's where the real potential for profit was. And, well, that's what he just couldn't put a solid dollar amount on.
So it all comes down to being able to prove your damages. What do you think Freund could have done differently? Like, imagine you were his lawyer back then.
That's a good question. If I were advising him, I would definitely told him to go to court with evidence of his past book sales, maybe even some expert testimony about, you know, market trends for books on modern drama. Mm-hmm. He could have shown how much similar books were selling for, especially those published by Washington Square Press.
So he needed to give the court something concrete, something to actually work with, not just say, hey, trust me, this book would have been a huge bestseller.
Exactly. And this is a valuable lesson for anyone working with contracts, you know, authors, entrepreneurs, anyone. If you ever find yourself in a contract dispute, you got to be ready to show exactly how that breach harmed you. Keep really good records, document everything, and if you can, definitely get advice from an expert who can help you, you know, figure out the real cost of that broken promise.
Yeah, so being organized and prepared is just as important as the contract itself.
Absolutely. This case is a perfect example of how, even in, you know, seemingly straightforward situations, the details really matter. And being able to prove your damages well, that can make the difference between, you know, a symbolic $0.06 and a significant payout.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. I feel like I'm starting to get the nuances of contract law and how important it is to, you know, to think ahead.
Yeah, it really makes you think, you know, like we all sign contracts, whether it's for, you know, some big publishing deal or even just renting an apartment. It makes you realize, like, how important it is to actually understand what you're agreeing to. Oh, for sure. Contracts are everywhere. And having a basic understanding of how they work, well, it can definitely save you some headaches down the road. I mean, the Freund case really shows how important it is to be able to, you know, prove your damages if things go south.
It's like that saying, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, right? You might trust the other person to, you know, to hold up their end of the deal, but you should still be ready just in case they don't.
Exactly. Think of it like this. A contract is kind of like a roadmap for your agreement. But, you know, if you get lost, you're going to need evidence to show where you were supposed to go and how far off course you ended up.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, so if we kind of zoom out from the specifics of this case, what's like the big takeaway for our listeners? What can they learn from, you know, Philip Freund and his $0.06?
I think the biggest lesson here is that knowledge is power, especially when it comes to, you know, legal agreements, understanding your rights, being aware of potential pitfalls, and just knowing how to protect yourself. That's something everyone should be equipped with.
It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of, you know, a new project or opportunity, but taking the time to really look over a contract and, you know, understand what it all means, it can save you so much stress in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. And remember, you don't have to go through this alone. If you're ever unsure about a contract, don't hesitate to, you know, to seek out some legal advice. It's definitely an investment in your own peace of mind.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener, and I hope our listeners are feeling the same way. Who knew that, like, a $0.06 award could spark such a fascinating conversation about, you know, contracts and the importance of being prepared?
It really goes to show that, you know, sometimes the most valuable lessons come from the most unexpected places.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us on this this journey into the world of contract law. We'll see you next time for another insightful exploration.